Oh man, yeah, man. Oh, it is another Sunday, but at the same time, it's not just another Sunday.
It's not.
Because football season is officially here. As you see, Bang is here doing what he does. Y'all totally got to see the pre-show. It's really some of the best content we do.
Yeah.
Without even knowing that's what we do. But a lot of things going on in the world of wrestling. A lot of championship talk, Intercontinental Championship talk. And since nobody questioned me on Twitter, shout to Ravishing Rick Rude. That montage was bullshit without him. Since I didn't see him and I was hoping I was wrong, but I could and I still couldn't be.
I don't know.
But hey, while Bang ponders on that, I'm just going to tell y'all, get ready for two guys that really know this thing to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So it is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick. Cam from the Port.
Yo, I don't remember seeing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
In the montage. It just kind of messed me up.
Same, because I was like, once I think it was like two of them went by, and I was like, wait, where's Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude? And then Mr. Perfect came, and I was like, awesome. And then I was like, yo, I ain't seen Rick Rude yet. Like, but we showed every member of the Shield with the Intercontinental title.
Wow. Yo, well first, let's make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershed Digital. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, that as well. Follow us on everything at the FBC Pod. One more time, that is the FBC Pod. Go ahead and get that merch. Click the link in the bio. You see Camp with the chocolate on, and we're gonna go ahead and get started. I was gonna start with Camp versus Twitter.
Okay, I'm here for that.
But let's go ahead and start with the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther is officially the longest reigning WWF/E Intercontinental Champion. He defeated Chad Gable in an amazing match.
Yeah, for sure.
An amazing match. They put over the Intercontinental Championship heavy. I mean heavy. As somebody who is a lover of the Intercontinental Championship, it has always been my favorite championship. It's the championship where you can legit say, when you hold it, you're probably next up. Yeah. You know, if you look at some of the people who's held it, you know, once that became the word, Macho Man, former Intercontinental Champion, even though he didn't receive the world belt, Mr. Perfect is revered as one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions that never became a world champion. Mm-hmm. And there's others we can name, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold, all of that. But you messed me up. You messed me up, Camp, because I don't remember Ravishing Rick Rude being in the montage for Intercontinental Champions. Speak on that.
Yeah, man. You know, very often they always have this, who's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time? And I'm going to say that if you were alive through at least the late 80s, and I don't mean like you were born. I mean, if you could really comprehend wrestling in the late 80s, you can't have that conversation without mentioning Ravishing Rick Rude. For me personally, I think that Ravishing Rick Rude was one of the guys who really made the Intercontinental Championship interesting. Mm. And when I say interesting, I'm talking about The story is developing over it. He treated it like a world title in some respects. I think that the amount of attention that he put on it specifically, even with just the title being on his trunks, the feud with Rick Rude, I think even though primarily most of their feud was without it, everything he did with Jake Roberts, to me, the two guys that make the Intercontinental Championship what it is today are Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect for our era, because we're only 1 year apart in age. Yeah. So, you know, shout to Pat, shout to Pedro. Hey, even shout to Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat, right? And I get all of that, but I didn't really even want to pronounce Intercontinental and Champion in the same sentence until I saw Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect with the belt. That's for me.
Yeah. I've said this on the pod before, how Vince McMahon makes you forget about certain people, places, things. Just look at even the history of the Intercontinental Championship of the tournaments in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Right. Pat Patterson became the champion after a grueling tournament. Wink, wink. A grueling tournament where they combined the belts. Ted DiBiase was the North American heavyweight champion, defeating Johnny Rods in a fictional tournament. And he defeated Ted DiBiase. Well, he defeated Ted DiBiase, excuse me, in a fictional grueling tournament. And Pat Patterson defeated Johnny Rivera, and that's when the first time he saw the belt, right? But growing up, I didn't hear about Pat Patterson being the Intercontinental Champion. I didn't hear about Ken Patera being the Intercontinental Champion. Pedro Morales, they just got you the hell up out of here, fam. Didn't remember you being that. Don Morocco, either. Like, Pedro Morales is the first two-time Intercontinental Champion. Don Morocco is a two-time Intercontinental Champion. And let me state this here, too. I first started watching wrestling heavy. I first started watching wrestling heavy in, you know, right around WrestleMania 4. And either I didn't care or I don't remember Gorilla Monsoon or Bobby the Brain Heenan or Vince McMahon or Jesse the Body Ventura. I don't remember them saying that Don Morocco was a two-time Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. Don't remember that at all. Tito Santana. I grew up for years not knowing that Tito Santana was an Intercontinental Champion. And Greg the Hammer Valentine. Matter of fact, I didn't understand that he was a Intercontinental Champion until he wrestled Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship. Right. And it was like in his twilights. Tito Santana is a two-time Intercontinental Champion. Even growing up, Macho Man Randy Savage. I didn't remember that. I wasn't watching wrestling heavy until after WrestleMania 3 going into WrestleMania 4. Honky Tonk Man is the first time where I'm like, okay, and that's only because of SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. But right. to your point, Rick Rude at WrestleMania 5 is the first time I actually care about the Intercontinental Championship. And I think if you ask people that's between the ages of 38 and 42, they would probably say Ultimate Warrior or Rick Rude was their introduction into the Intercontinental Championship. And again, to that point, Rick Rude is the first time I cared about it and how he won the match, and it made it bigger than ever. See, y'all got to realize this. And I think this is something that when Paul Heyman talks about he's the greatest manager of all time, I think this is the feather that he has in his cap that makes it probably not cap. The first singles championship in the Heenan family is technically Andre the Giant defeating Hulk Hogan on Saturday night's main event. Yep. Technically. But the first championship that we really gave a damn about being around a Heenan family member is Rick Rude, because Bobby the Brain Heenan held down Ultimate Warrior's leg to get him that belt.
Yeah.
And while he may have lost it right back, and matter of fact, I think I got the joints wrong. It was, yeah, no, I was right. SummerSlam is where Ultimate Warrior won it. Rick Rude won it at WrestleMania 5. Yep, because the feud started at Royal Rumble. And then the Ultimate Warrior got it back at SummerSlam. So Rick Rude barely held it for like over 100 days. But it was the first time that I cared about the Intercontinental Championship, seeing Rick Rude defeat the Ultimate Warrior, who, even though he had the belt, it was like, dude is unbeatable, so it really doesn't matter. So when you mention that Rick Rude is not in the montage, I'm a little bit perplexed here. Because if it's anybody that should be in that montage for even beating the Ultimate Warrior, it's Ravishing Rick Rude.
Right. And see, and that was my thing. It's like, so on one hand, I get what they were trying to do, right? Which was maybe give a lot of the younger fans, you know, your Generation Alpha and your Generation Z viewers a chance to see, ooh, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns had the belt. And I forgot. Oh, I mean, and they did show Kofi, which, yo, respect, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't show Ahmed Johnson either. But whatever. You know what I mean?
He's the first black Intercontinental Champion of all time. So honestly, it's not a whatever. He should be in that shit.
Right. But, you know, if I look at Young Rock closely, the TV show, I think that Jason Derulo was playing Ahmed Johnson as the mythical guy that was hating on The Rock on his come up. That's who I think he was.
That was Shawn Michaels.
Actually. Oh, it was?
Yo, yeah, that was actually Shawn Michaels.
Oh, hey, I thought that was Ahmed Johnson. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, yeah, no. That was Shawn Michaels, Jack.
Oh, man. Oh, come on, Sean.
Rock don't fuck with Sean.
And you know what? I don't think they've ever had a program of any kind. Like, not even when the DX Nation thing was happening. Like, The Rock wasn't in that, was he?
Nah, Sean hated on Rock. That's what that was. Okay. They did have that moment where The Rock was doing everybody's catchphrases.
Yeah.
At the ramp.
Yeah.
But other than that, nah.
Yo, wow. Hey, thanks for the fact check. I appreciate that. But yes, but see, it's things like that, though, Bang. Because you put Pat Patterson out there, and I didn't even know he was the Intercontinental Champion until Jim Ross started calling him one of the stooges of Vince McMahon. Now, I got that stat because he was called a stooge. Mm-hmm. And people were like, yo, y'all sleep on Pat Patterson. He was the first Intercontinental Champion. I'm like, we're not sleeping on dude at like 50 plus, bro. Get out of here. But I think that instead of trying to show more of the stars of today, they should have really highlighted the defining moments of the Intercontinental Championship. I just personally think that should have happened. Like, some people, like, again, your Bret Hart, your Shawn Michaels, they need to be in the montage.
Yeah.
Kofi, because he's black, needs to be in it. But a Rick Rude needs to be in there. And Ahmed Johnson needs to be in there. I would even go as far as to say Shelton Benjamin, because he had the that was when the title changed. And I think he was in there. I don't want to misquote.
I don't remember seeing him.
So I look at that and I'm just like, man, let's give history, but like, let's give like the true defining moments of history. You know what I'm saying? Like, the defining moments package for the Jordans before, like, it be certain shoes for certain reasons. You know, they don't just throw the sevens in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like the games and the shoes had to mean something to be there. It don't mean that they're less important, because, you know, to get to 23, you got to have 9 or you got to have 6, whatever. But you know which ones are the ones that make this legacy what it is. And I don't think they did a great job of doing that with that.
And I ain't saying that, you know, Goldust got to be up in this joint. I ain't saying that Road Dogg got to be up in it. you know, I think, and I didn't see this, but a Chris Jericho and China mention would have been dope, you know, because they held it at the same time. But yeah, I was very surprised and shocked by realizing that Rick Rude wasn't there.
Yeah, man. So, you know, first Black Champ podcast. Look, we're going to highlight what need to be highlighted out here as far as our champs for nostalgia and history purposes, man. Come to us. We know what's going on out here. Off top, I can't think of another IC champ that I felt should have been on there that wasn't. But, you know, for the most part, 85% right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not tripping. Obviously, they got a list of Honky Tonk Man, of course. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, a couple of them they mailed in, I think, just for the young people to let them know, like, oh yeah, hey, you know Seth Rollins was the Intercontinental Champion, which I honestly forgot. And then the Intercontinental
Champion. Oh, you know what? No. I was about to tweak. He had the United States Championship and the World Championship at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, and see, and that's honestly what I remember. That's what I remember. I was like, yo, he got the mid-card and the major title. Oh, and then Roman Reigns. Hey, listen, understanding exactly who Roman Reigns is in this era and this time right now, he didn't need to be in that montage, man.
No, he didn't.
He didn't at all.
He was in that montage for the same reason that they did what they did with Hulk Hogan at the beginning of WrestleMania 2. Where they did the national anthem, and all of a sudden it was just Hulk Hogan with like sparkles and flags around him. It's right. Like, yo, you're the biggest star in the world, so we got to put you somewhere. This was the equivalent of Hogan must pose.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about this match real quick. Right? As we said, they put over the Intercontinental Championship with so much prestige and greatness. Mm-hmm. In that match, and then you had Gunther versus Chad Gable in a stellar match. Where does Gunther go from here? Because Corey Graves says something that I have been whispering for a while now, and even though he's a European person, like, he's the only European person that gets your respect in wrestling.
Well, that's not 100% accurate, but I see what you're doing.
But where does Gunther go from here?
Man, I think it is time to just to dominate. Listen, the end of that match, I don't want to see him end the match another way ever again. I want all three of them finishers. His finisher was three finishers now. I don't know which 2K game it was where you could just pick your finisher and you just do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That's literally what Gunther did. And he don't need to end the match without doing all three of them in a row like he did to Chad Gable on Monday Night Raw. From here, man, I think it's just about dominance. And I think it was very telling about some of the Judgment Day's moves on SmackDown to make way for that. You know what I'm saying? Again, I don't know what opponent there needs to be for Gunther, because even with the Intercontinental title, he's in a Roman Reigns space, but he's in a Roman Reigns space clean. Like, throw anybody out there, and I don't think they beating them with Ludwig and Giovanni ain't gonna be nowhere in sight. And I don't see Gunther losing that Intercontinental title. But that's what the longest reigning Intercontinental champion should do, right? You know, it was cool when it was all swivel hips and guitar shots, but now, you know what I'm saying? A little shake, rattle, and roll there. But when you just gonna really just get your ass beat on any given day, man, that means everybody got to step it up just to get here. And I like that.
I agree with Corey Graves. Gunther is the greatest wrestler in the world today. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's close. Okay. Because of what you just said with them three finishes. My God, that whole entire match. See, this is where you can be great And you got to be careful at the same damn time. Because what if we said about other champions in the WWE currently right now? They've not done enough to put the wrestler they've been wrestling over.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we supposed to do with Chad Gable right now, fam? It took three finishers to take down Chad Gable, my G. What do we do here? If I'm the WWE, I'm at this point right now. I'm looking at Raw, and we've shitted on Raw in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, Seth, go take a break.
Yeah.
We go and heal, fam, because we could choose now between the person that I said to me made the world championship, which is Shinsuke Nakamura. Then you looking at Gunther. Gunther has made this Intercontinental Championship belt on the level of the World Championship. And to me, damn near on the level of the Universal Championship. Because we see him all of the time now. It's the workman's belt. But then when you look at everybody he has wrestled, he has not only not had a bad match. That match has probably been match of the night, and he's made the person that he's wrestled. Even the people that did not need to be made. We looked at Drew McIntyre and Sheamus after their matches with Gunther and was like, oh man, maybe they should be in a world championship program. Yeah. Like, that was off the matches with him. Like, yeah. These cats got mad because they was like, yo, we need to be in something bigger. After they just got slapped the fuck down by Gunther.
Yeah.
Gunther don't need that belt no more. This ain't a guarantee. This is just what Bang would do. On the Raw, on the Monday, if I was Gunther, I'll say, hey, pick up your Intercontinental Championship belt. No, can't pick it up. If I was Gunther, this is what exactly I'll do. It's been great holding this championship. I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. I beat the record held by somebody that's very much less than me. And you know what? I no longer need this belt. Y'all do whatever y'all want. Have a championship tournament or whatever. But I don't need it no more. My sights are set on Seth Rollins. And you know how that match should look, Camp? Yeah. Remember when Sting got his ass beat by Vader? The end.
And this is the perfect time. And again, Judgment Day on SmackDown opens the door for that. I just want that clear. I'm going to keep saying that until we get to the segment. And you know what? In a lot of ways, man, you are not wrong. You are not wrong at all, because There is no dropping the belt in his defense right now. It's not. And they're giving him more mic time. They're giving him more camera time. So, obviously, they're gearing up. Hey, shout out to Courtney. He was like, hey, after that match, Gunther ready for a push. And I'm like, wait. the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion ever in the push. But I do get it, and that would segue into what you were just saying. It's like, well, obviously, the ceiling is now the floor. So where do we go from here? You know what I'm saying? And they never really, even with WrestleMania 6, the title for title, you know, the Ultimate Warrior was still really never the Intercontinental Champion and the world heavyweight champion. You know, it was
He dropped that bitch the next Saturday on Superstars.
Right.
And they started the tournament.
Right. So I look at that and I see a few things. But you know what? I leave everything to chance because of Damian Priest, because I still think we need Damian Priest versus Gunther for something. And I think either title is great.
Shit, it could be for the title and the Money in the Bank. Put both of them up, title, Money in the Bank, and I'm choosing Gunther. Like, all right, go ahead and get it. Damian Priest, I know last week we dedicated a segment to your ass. Kemp was like, if I could be like any wrestler right now, it's probably Damian Priest. But you know what? Gunther should and would win this one, goddammit. Because, look, the man is amazing.
Yeah.
Let's stop bullshitting with him now. Yeah. Hell, look, I mentioned him and Cody Rhodes ever since the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Maybe Cody Rhodes is like, you know what, until we wait this bitch out, I want to bring back the old Intercontinental Championship belt. And they wrestle, and whoever wins, bring a belt back. I don't know. But right now, Gunther has proven himself that he don't need to be in any mid-card shit. Gunther, to me, done proved that he's a main event at WrestleMania. Gunther done proved to me that Walter don't even matter in this case. There's Gunther and there's Walter, both of them cold. Gunther proved to me that he don't even need the two dudes in the back, even though when he throw his coat to Ludwig, that shit be funny as hell. Them fucking people doing that shit.
I get it.
But and they also proved to me that you could be a faction and don't have to force this faction down your throat, because it's still, at the end of the day, all about me. Gunther then proved to me that it is Roman Reigns as the greatest attraction right now. But if Gunther held any other belt outside of the Intercontinental Championship, and yes, my friends, that means Universal and that World Championship, I think it not only doesn't drop a beat, I would love to see Gunther versus Brock. I would love to see Gunther versus Rock instead of Roman Reigns. I would love to see Gunther versus Roman Reigns. I would love to see Gunther in anything big and massive, pause, that's going to put him in a position to become not only the best wrestler in the world, but for people to actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is not just us wrestling fans.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the casuals, too.
Yeah.
Because low-key, them casuals that's white, 18 to 34, seen Gunther versus Roman Reigns, oh, it's lit.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know what? I think there's a lot of the validity into that, and that's why I think we're going to see some things that probably weren't even in the cards when this year started, but they definitely will be now. I just want a quick sidebar shout out to Ludwig Kaiser, because when this whole Gunther versus Chad Gable thing started, I love the fact that Ludwig approached homegirl, because I don't remember her name, and I'm sorry, I know she was Maxine Dupree, but he approached her in a real Bun B-ish way and told her, you've been rolling solo, it's time to get down with the team. Grass is green on the other side, if you know what I mean. And I appreciate him trying to make her jump down and then set her out at the same time, because he felt she was hanging with losers. Very underrated segment on Raw this summer. And I'm pretty sure if we do any top list, that's getting my slammy. I'm just throwing it out there right now.
Hey, at the end of the day, that team, like, that's the crazy thing about Imperium at this point, right? That Gunther is clearly the head at the table. Clearly, these two dudes is inferior. Like, at this point, those two are lackeys. And at the end of the day, with their lackeyism on full display, it does not take away from the fact that that dude is still cold. Like, you've seen some factions where, like, I don't want to say the bloodline in the beginning, because the Usos have always been the Usos. But okay, Judgment Day. I'll say Judgment Day. How we've been saying that Judgment Day ain't really had no leader, but it's clear now that Rhea, like, it's really clear now that Rhea run the show, right? But remember when Judgment Day first started? We was like, yo, why Edge picked them?
Yeah.
Even though it's Rhea and Damian Priest is like, oh, for real? Or, you know what? I'll even go better. The Flock. Remember it was like Raven and everybody else? It's like Raven and a whole bunch of jobbers. It's like Raven and Kidman, Lodi, forgot my man name, the tall dude, Scotty Riggs out here with one eye. You know, it's just like, you know, Raven and other people. That's what Imperium is.
Mm-hmm.
Is Gunther and two dudes that's European. That's it. That's all. And you know what? We don't care. Don't give a damn. Because when Gunther come out there, basically Gunther could win the tag team championships by himself the way he be looking. Mm-hmm. He could win them bitches and be like, yo, Ludwig, Giovanni, here. I gift you this. Don't lose it, though. Like, he could really do that shit. Like, here you go, fam. Don't lose it. Right. And that's what's just great about Gunther, man. I'm going to praise this German white man as much as I can. All right? I'm going to praise him.
All right, no pause is needed.
What? Dr. Umar look at a Gunther match and be like, man, y'all better leave that white boy alone. What? He ain't going to say, where's Ahmed Johnson at? Like, he's not going to do that. Dr. Umar is going to be like, yo, in some fights we just don't want to be involved in. You know what? This ain't that one, Jack. Gunther, what's his name? Walter, him? Hey, brothers, let's go after Seth. He got a broken back. He ain't a world champion. Let's go after this dude. What do you feel is next for Chad Gable go? What you think is next for Chad Gable, though? Because this man was put up over tremendously.
Yeah.
You know, through this whole process. Like, you saw his whole family and everything.
Well, I'll tell you this. If what you're saying, if what you would want to see is Gunther dropping the title and just pursuing the World Heavyweight Championship, a tournament that gets him the Intercontinental Championship, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the only seeable payoff for 2023. There is no other option. Money in the Bank has happened. We're out of what would have been King of the Ring season. And he is nowhere in contention for the World Heavyweight Championship, especially over the man that just beat him. So if there is a situation where Gunther decides that he doesn't want to be the Intercontinental Champion anymore, then, you know, that would be the move. I think that, obviously, through this feud, he's obviously super babyface now, so there's no more booing the shooshes and the thank yous. So that's something in itself, right? We've already got him to turn, flip to face. You could, but it's not there. And what I was getting ready to say is you could Daniel Bryan this, but unfortunately, he doesn't have that groundswell of overwhelming support to be in the stratosphere that Daniel Bryan was when the Yes Movement was becoming a thing. So, unfortunately, guys, well, we gotta wait for Raw, because who is to say that he's not one of the guys that's gonna get traded to SmackDown? Because to me, that U.S. title is wide open. That the slot for that champ, that's a catch-as-catch-can. That's a fatal four-way. That's an elimination chamber amount of people, but not worthy of the match. But they've proven us wrong before, right? So to me, that's the payoff. The Olympian winning the U.S. title. Yeah, I mean, does beating Rey Mysterio help him? I don't know. But that would be the only viable option if we're talking, you're here, Chad, let's go here.
I didn't think about Gunther being traded for obvious reasons, the world championship. But LA Knight versus Gunther sounds like gold for LA Knight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I mean by that is now we're starting to see LA Knight roll off some victories,
right,
and stuff. So that would be interesting. But let's segue now into what basically Camp told y'all last, which was Jey Uso, he going over to Raw. Somebody got to come over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, who would be your top three contenders to go over to SmackDown to replace 50 Uso? Right. For those who don't know, that's Jey Uso.
Right. So, and even I tweeted out early this morning, you know, technically Raw took two superstars from SmackDown, JD McLeprechaun and 50 Uso. So, you know, so technically they owe SmackDown two people. And part of me thinks that Chad Gable could be in that mix. I'm also thinking that, and I know impact level, it don't really hit the same, but I think Stark, I think a woman might go over because of just the some of the stagnation with the same 4 to 5 players that get highlighted on the women's roster over on SmackDown. I was thinking Riddle at first, but he just not as hot as it used to be, man. Hey, don't leave while you're hot. That's how May screwed up. And I wish the wellness policy and Randy Orton's injury wouldn't have done him in this way, but it has. And, you know, I'll be honest, the obvious is Cody Rhodes, I think. I think the obvious is still Cody Rhodes because this was Cody's decision. Well, now, Cody, look what your decision gets you. And that's not really a bad thing because do we want to see Seth versus Cody for the World Heavyweight Championship? Or do we really want a chance to see Cody versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Heavyweight Championship, aka the championship that he said that he re-signed with the WWE for in the first place?
Yeah. The Chad Gable joint is now interesting. Because, boy, did they put him over. Can't say that enough. Mm-hmm. So, to your point earlier, what you said, Chad Gable going over to SmackDown to become the United States champion sounds good compared to what they did to get him over. So if you could say you went toe-to-toe to Gunther and then defeated, you know, the greatest Lucha Libre wrestler of all time, in what would be a dope-ass match, especially with Santos Escobar turning on his mentor. Because I'm still leaving that as a guarantee that absolutely, Santos Escobar and the LWO or the wherever city they're at, WO, is, they're going to give him the Randy Orton treatment.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, all right, old man, you out. Boom. We back to what we was before. Yeah. We back to the cartel, fam. It's lit. But Chad Gable and actually Chad Gable and crew would be my first choice simply because of the fact that how they put that man over. Mm-hmm. They got to put him in a situation where he could get something. But then that leaves out LA Knight. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I am here to say that LA Knight don't need a belt. It's now at the point for me that LA Knight don't need a belt, at least for right now.
Okay.
You could Jake the Snake Roberts this, and he's good, as long as you put him in credible feuds. And I think that's missing. And that's the part. Now, the whole thing with Paul Heyman on SmackDown makes things interesting because I think going into, you know, to Survivor Series next month, there's more than a couple of ways to skin this cat and give us a War Games match. You know? Does that... But, and I'll go in a little bit later to the confusion around some of these players by using some theme songs and stuff that we will play a little bit later. But I'm looking at Chad Gable. I'm also looking at Gunther because I think SmackDown is a bigger platform for him.
Okay.
And that's it. Like, I don't know who else that you can send over outside of Cody, and I don't think they're going to pull that trigger yet.
No.
Okay. But I don't know, outside of them two, who you can send over to SmackDown and make it worth Jey Uso at this point.
Yeah, see, that. See, my bad. I'm sorry. But, yeah, see, that's what's the most important thing. The only other person as important as 50 Uso on Raw is Cody Rhodes or Seth Rollins. And you're not moving the champ over there.
Right.
They literally made the title. So we ain't got to go over there or wait for Roman to come over here. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. I'm not sure, man. It's honestly, I tell you what, whoever is in the trade, they better turn it up seven notches. Because, and just for clarity, I'm ruling out every member of the Judgment Day because they go anywhere they want to go.
They're the tag team champs.
Yeah.
They can go wherever they want to.
They're the tag team champs. They're the NXT champ. They're the women's world champ. And they literally show up on any show they want to. And we've just been under the radar just respecting that. So
basically.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And the thing is, I even mistweeted wrong. It was like, yo, if so-and-so went over to Raw, I'm like, wait, whoa, that ain't how it's going to go. Like, somebody from Raw got to go over there to SmackDown. And I don't know, man. I don't know who else is getting a universal pop that ain't holding a title that would need that moment over there. Technically, the answer is nobody. So whoever they send, y'all better make it happen, bro. Or sis.
Yeah. So when we come back, we will talk about the newest, you know, newest addition to As the Bloodline Turns. And could it be One Day to Live? We'll find out next. All right, man, this episode of As the Bloodline Turns, it takes a twist. It's a little bit of a twist here because it looks like they have a little bit of friends in the Judgment Day. In his match with Jimmy Uso, AJ Styles won. And that's interesting in itself because the homies didn't come to help out. And he was like, yo, what the fuck is this? I was like, yo, your ass decided to do this.
Yeah, man.
We told you not to. Fuck we look like.
Yeah.
But anyway, we get on that a little bit later. Anyway, the Bloodline, you know, Jimmy Uso, is he in there or not? But he ends up losing to AJ Styles. But then AJ Styles gets jumped by Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. So now you have Judgment Day and the Bloodline seeming to have an unholy alliance. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen unholy alliances in the WWE before.
For sure.
Where do we see this unholy alliance? And is it even needed?
It's not needed. I'll tell you what. I love the mind games, though. Because let nothing distract any of you from the fact that Damian Priest kicked off his promo by saying, in so many words, yo, we getting the jobs done that Roman Reigns and the Bloodline can't. And to me, when you holding the briefcase and you holding it up, He was like, yo, I'm going to handle some other business that can't nobody else do either, which is taking that belt off your little tattooed shoulder there, buddy. To me, I look at this all as, you know what, we'll help y'all out, but let's even the playing field a little bit. Because technically you're outnumbered right now. And see, and that's what makes this so interesting. Even with Dirty Dom out there doing what he does, Jimmy, SoundClick, and Solo are not necessarily on the same page with Roman Reigns. And outside of great segments, Paul Heyman is not a factor. We know in any other world, Finn Balor, I mean, Jimmy SoundClick can't really F with Finn Balor, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And so with that, that leaves Dom and Finn to deal with Solo. And that evens up the playing field for Damian Priest to cash in on Roman Reigns. And let's be honest, we haven't seen Roman Reigns win a match clean in over a year. So why should he lose clean? Why should he lose just in general by a guy that's been beating everybody clean or been losing clean? Like, that's one thing about, again, why it's great to beat Damian Priest. It's because win or lose, all his matches is on him. And it's really nothing to be said about it. And now with him already coming in with the advantage of, hey, yo, I can do this anytime I want, whenever I feel like it, and you're not straight with your cousins? Oh, well, let me just get all of them out the way to where they feel like they shouldn't even get in this. So then we get this popping. Go ahead.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched parts of SmackDown this morning because I wanted to make sure I say this correct.
Okay.
Paul Heyman told Jimmy that he was going to do whatever it took to get the family back together.
Mm-hmm.
Could that mean Paul Heyman leaving them, the bloodline, and going over to Judgment Day? Could there be a swerve here of sorts to where we can see Paul Heyman switch his alliances, which would make the bloodline faces? And we do know that there are plans to have the bloodline or Roman Reigns go face. Mm-hmm. Could there be a world where it happens through Paul Heyman in the bloodline?
If the unsung member wasn't JD McLeprechaun, I'd say yes. I'd say yes, but I'm not. Because I do think that Heyman would even see value in having Dom in his new dangerous alliance, right? I think he would see a lot of value in that. However, I do think that the dynamic of the Judgment Day is so over for so many different reasons. You don't add Heyman to something that's already working that well. You just don't do it. Okay. I'm not saying that. And this is not me saying that you don't enhance it. But to me, Bang, the time to do that would have been a year ago. Okay. When they finally got Edge out the way and Dominic finally joined. That was the moment to do it, because now what they've done is the work. They've done the work to get themselves completely over. And the thing is, I'll say they're way over now than Roman Reigns was 3 years ago when he was sitting in that on that couch with Heyman talking over business.
Okay.
They're way over now than he was then.
Okay. Second question for you. Is it now a chance that we don't see Roman Reigns at Survivor Series?
Oh, yeah. Listen. Off the fact that we haven't seen Roman Reigns since Deuces Ooses and Jimmy Soundclick has been floundering, if we see Roman Reigns five more times this year, I'd be surprised at this point. Because they added John Cena and Edge to the SmackDown intro. And don't think I didn't see that and was like, oh. Because to me, that's your TV time. That's everything Roman Reigns would have or could have done between those two.
Yeah, and it was rumors that It was rumors that Roman Reigns was injured during the SummerSlam match. But the reason why I bring it up is because this seems like to me, like when you're playing 2K, when they ask you how long you want this storyline to go. This ain't the 4-week storyline. This is like the 8 or 12 week storyline.
Right.
Where it started on Friday and it's going to culminate in Survivor Series, which is kind of why I asked the question that I asked you is simply just throwing out hypotheticals here. Don't think it's going to happen. But throwing out hypotheticals here, y'all. At Survivor Series in Chicago, at Allstate Arena, is Damian Priest, is Finn Balor, Solo, and Jimmy Soundclick. Reason why we call him Jimmy Soundclick is because his theme song sounds like a Soundclick song.
Yeah. Yep. The first version before somebody blew up off a sound clip. It's not like them.
Exactly. Four people. And if they add a fifth, maybe it is Roman Reigns. Maybe. But let's just say it's four, right?
Right.
It's half of Judgment Day and half of Bloodline to go up against Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that would be the
team. Now the reason why I say fifth may be because LA Knight and Paul Heyman's conversation.
Yep. Okay. You watch wrestling like I watch it. See,
we here. So I got the four and I got the five, and the five could be Roman Reigns or it could be Dom.
Yeah.
But something tells me because it looks like you're crossing the streams here. Something tells me that Roman Reigns, we ain't gonna see buddy as wrestle.
Right.
Until December, Jack.
Yeah.
And that's where things get a little bit funky for me. Because Judgment Day got all the belts but the main ones.
Yeah.
But they got the key to the main one. And I think, at the very least, the thought of maybe Damian Priest cashing in on Roman Reigns is there. Because then again, like you had with Brock, you're looking at Paul like, where your allegiance lie. And then you can look at the bloodline and say, Jay over there, Jimmy Huff, and I'll get to that in a second, Roman be in and out, Solo be here. Why do I need to be? And y'all hate each other. And y'all hate each other, fam. Why do I need to be the advocate for y'all? Well, I could go be the advocate for the Judgment Day. I think that is legit. Don't think it would happen, but I think it's a good thing to throw out there, a good possibility to throw out there to add intrigue to this unholy alliance.
You're not wrong. And, you know, it would be in great fashion for Paul Heyman to be with the winning squad. You know what I mean? Like the team that's winning the most, the guy that is winning the most, Paul Heyman has been standing next to them for better or worse the last 21 years. You know what I'm saying? So So I do get it, and I do understand it. I'm actually even not mad at it. I just wonder, and you know, we should never doubt greatness. What would be the angle that he takes with the Judgment Day, since he now no longer has that one guy or that one person within the group that is hands down the most dominant person in wrestling? Because even if he does join the Judgment Day, and even though I do think it looks, even from my perspective, if you have a Damian Priest versus a Gunther, what value does Paul Heyman bring to Damian Priest to now make me say, oh, Gunther may not have a chance at all?
All right. So hear me out, y'all. JR's about to play writer here. I think I cooked up something good.
Okay.
At this point, Roman Reigns can lose this belt, and we don't matter. It don't matter at this point. When he loses it, it's who he loses it to. And I'm going to throw Cody out here, because with Cody, it's not a matter of him breaking Roman's streak, because he's always over. It's just, I need this belt. And there's still a way for him to still get it off of Roman. Mm-hmm. And you've also heard me say Cody needs to be on his Homelander shit.
Yeah.
But Cody's not going to be Homelander here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like, damn, this is what happened. My bad. As for the winter going into the new year, we get Cody Rhodes taking a back seat to Bloodline versus Judgment Day. Hear me out here. Okay. Now, you just said, in a sense, what sense does it make for Paul Heyman to go over there? Something that you said quite some time is the reason why. He's not the leader of the Bloodline. He's the advocate.
Okay.
Judgment Day ain't got no leader. Really? Guess who would be the leader of Judgment Day?
It would
be Paul Heyman.
All right.
So that's one. Two, a couple of weeks ago, on Raw, Rhea Ripley looked at Dom, was like, basically, let me see if this plan worked. What if Rhea Ripley's plan was to present what Paul can do for Judgment Day? And why they need him.
Okay.
And Paul was probably like, get them two together, and there's a conversation. And they fucking up everything because they fighting.
Ah, okay. That's a good playback. That's a hell of a playback. Or callback.
Yeah, now we're going to callbacks now, y'all.
Yeah.
Dom will signify overseeing NXT. We got NXT, y'all. We got the tag team championships. And it's one thing that Roman Reigns has been rumored to be getting involved in, but it's never happened. And it's the women's division. Remember when they was like, Paul Heyman might manage Ronda Rousey and shit like that. And then you have the Money in the Bank champion. Paul Heyman could have control over every division in the WWE if he were to turn on the Bloodline and go over to Judgment Day.
Wow. Okay.
Which in turn, he would have control of the WWE. That's what I would do for the winter going into WrestleMania, and it gets everybody over and where they need to be, and you can still have an ultimate swerve where Cody and Roman have their match at WrestleMania, because Roman would either lose the belt or he would find himself having to battle with this team in order to keep what he feel like is rightfully his.
You know what, man? I like that. I like that playing out because it automatically is the reset that's needed for life without Roman Reigns as the champion and tribal chief. And automatically, that's what this is all about, right? What's gonna happen when Roman Reigns loses the belt and he fades away, rides off into the sunset, however you wanna call it? What does that mean for everybody else? What does that mean for the Usos? What does that mean for Solo? What does that mean for Paul Heyman? Because Roman Reigns is set. He is set. The day he loses the belt, he never has to return to the WWE again. So now, what's left? I mean, obviously the advocate sees the writing on the wall, right? He's the advocate. He's the wise man. I'm sorry, but he's also an advocate. But now he's the wise man. And the wise man has to see what's coming. And you know what? Honestly, outside of Finn, and I'm not saying that he's done out here, because obviously he has a lot more left in the tank, but Paul Heyman getting a hold of Dom, Damian, and Rhea's careers at this stage in the game definitely helps them forever. I'll concede. Now I want to see it.
Yeah, and the other part about it is, too, Damian Priest. And now puts him over as a true contender. If the WWE's plan is to make Roman Reigns a face before all of this is over, I think that's the best way of doing it. And it also brings the family together because they gonna whoop Jay ass and they gonna whoop the other folks ass. And Cody ain't under no obligation to save these niggas.
Facts.
And neither is Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn, on the other hand, it's the wait and see approach. Now, let's move on to one of the members of the Bloodline. And why this Judgment Day thing probably needed to happen. Hey, y'all. It's official in my eyes. It's nothing against them. But Jimmy Uso, Paul Roma, y'all. He's Paul Roma, the Four Horsemen.
I was going to say Four Horsemen, Paul Roma.
He's Four Horsemen, Paul Roma, y'all.
Who was literally just the other guy.
Yes. His wife had a viral moment in a secondary company the same week he's basically at the top of the card on SmackDown. Yeah. And there's more people talking about Trinity splashing the guy off the top rope into a table that didn't even break.
Yeah, man.
Than they are about Jimmy SoundClick.
Yeah.
But I think before you go.
I want to add to you. I want to add to you because you got to keep going. Don't just say in the main event. In the main event versus AJ Styles.
Yes.
That's super important.
That's very
super
important.
Super important. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Super important. I think the WWE is going to run into a situation where they feel like everybody in the Bloodline is over. They're going to start to realize it's everybody but Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's everybody but Jimmy. Now, the ratings might come out, and those ratings is probably going to look hella decent. But let's just be real. SmackDown didn't even feel like SmackDown on Friday. Yeah. Who's missing here? Jay. It was feeling like SmackDown when Jay was on that bitch.
Yeah.
But with Solo and Jimmy being the head of the table on SmackDown, let's be real, y'all. Didn't feel like that shit. It didn't. The feeling was not restored, fam.
No.
Super, it wasn't there. It felt like an episode of Superstars, fam.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And hear me out. Somebody's going to be like, nah, nah, y'all dissing. No. What kind of, yeah, but hear me out here.
So?
How many times you saw Hulk Hogan on Superstars, y'all? You still watched it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times you saw the Ultimate Warrior on that bitch?
Mm.
You still watched it. How many times you saw the Macho Man on that bitch? You still watched it. Sometimes your main event on Superstars was Rick the Model Martel versus Coco Beware.
Yeah. Yep.
And you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that felt like. It felt like WWE Superstars. I didn't put the F there. You see how I edited myself?
Right.
It felt like WWE Superstars. Or it felt like Saturday Night's Main Event.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had Jimmy Uso and you had his artwork versus AJ Styles and his artwork.
Yeah, man.
And that match happened in the first hour.
Mm.
And then, like, the main event was a random tag team match between the Rockers and the Powers of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like... It didn't feel like...
Hey, was you right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's funny because you're right.
Yeah. Be real, y'all. You watch wrestling as long as we have.
Oh, my God.
You watch Saturday Night's Main Event, be like Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man, like hour one. Yeah. And then the night would end with, like, the Rockers versus Powers of Pain. Or the Islanders versus the Brainbusters.
Right.
Some shit like that. Like, that's the last match of the night, y'all. Like, yeah, oh, see y'all later.
Okay.
Jimmy Uso, they got to figure out what he going to be. Mm-hmm. And let him be it. If I will say this. His character might be the realest character on wrestling right now. The niggas lost. His brother over there on Raw. His cousin at the crib with his kids. It's him, Solo, and Paul. And he like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what to do, Oos. That's probably the realest character in wrestling right now. Yeah. Because what is it for Jimmy to do? Jimmy ain't been over since he protected his cousin from getting his brother, from getting his ass beat by his cousin.
Yeah.
Because then he was gone still months after that. And then he came back with a shirt saying that he's nobody's bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, he's been everybody's bitch since he's worn that shirt.
Yeah, man. And it's terrible. It's terrible. Hey, look, I want to be so wrong about everything that I'm about to say here. So I want to go on record, and I want y'all to like the chats up, like the Twitter up, like everything up, because I want to be wrong with what I'm about to say about Jimmy SoundClick. Right now, he is back to back on having a segment with John Cena, which felt more like a burn in a shoot than it did a means to get him over. Then he's in the program with AJ Styles. And when's the last time you said, oh, AJ Styles versus him? I don't even want to see that shit. You've never said it. You've never said it ever. But I said it this week. And that was heartbreaking. This is heartbreaking because Jimmy has always been the leader of the Usos. Jimmy was always the guy that I expected to go solo and kind of do what Jay is doing. if given the opportunity, especially with the way their careers had started. But man, has life really kicked his back in a way that I don't even think he expected. And so now what do we have here? A whole lot of Med. We got a whole lot of Reggie. We got a whole lot of Reefer and a whole lot of grass. And this is every bit of terrible to the point where Roman Reigns is going to have to come back and start wrestling on SmackDown. Or he's going to have to come back and start smacking his cousin around. But we got to do something, because right now, the only thing saving Jimmy from being Future Endeavor is his last name. Like, that is it. Like, right now, right where we sitting. And this does not look good, man. And it's unfortunate, because I get that the storyline was different 3 years ago. But when I felt they did the main event Jey Uso thing too prematurely, he grew into it ASAP. Like, yeah, his cousin started beating him up and all that. He lost the title matches two times. But when he was out there with Kevin Owens, it's like, oh, wait, hold on. Okay. All right. I didn't believe, but that wasn't bad. And then you got the other situations. I forget who the opponents were, because they were kind of just back and forth. And even though Jay was playing this manic character that wasn't sure what to do because he's getting hold by his cousin and his brother ain't there and he's not sure what to do. He has nobody to talk to. He just keeps leveling up. Now, peak of the bloodline, they take the titles off the Usos. They effectively split them up. He then stops his brother from winning the title, and that seems to be the death blow to his own career, while his brother skyrockets. That shouldn't have happened that way. It just shouldn't have. Like, this is like the barbershop happening, and then Marty Jannetty goes on a run, and then you see him versus Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9. Like, this is what would happen. Like, this is crazy. So, listen, I want to be wrong, but Jimmy SoundClick, first of all, we calling you Jimmy SoundClick because what is your music, bro? Like, yo, you call, what's my man name that used to do all the, call Jimmy Hart, bro. Like, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with the SoundClick joint? One. But also, man, there has to be a dynamic shift in this character. Because just like Bang said, he looked lost. And no matter what stage you are in life, whether it's your adolescence, teens, 20s, 30s, as a man with kids, as a man as a career, even as an entrepreneur, nobody wants to see, hear, or deal with the lost nigga for too long.
That's lit. I like that you understand.
Hey, that's all I got.
You in a bet. But nah, man, everything about Jimmy is mid right now, G. Mm-hmm. And I hate that for him.
Yeah.
Everything is mid for him. The theme song is mid. And the crazy thing is when you listen to Jay, it's basically the Usos theme song. It's just now him.
Yeah.
It's just this. I'm not saying it's the same theme song, but shit, man. When Shawn Michaels got Sensational Sherry ass up out of here, he was just like, "Yo, we gonna do the vocals myself."
Hey, and speaking of the barbershop, like, yo, the guy. Hey, once that mirror hit Sherry head, he was like, "Hey, you know what though?
I think I'm cute. I think I'm sexy." Like. You know all that shit changed, man. Right. 2 weeks
ain't
later.
Ain't changed it since.
Like 2 weeks after her ass went through that glass, he was like, I think I'm cute. Yeah. I know I'm sexy. Jimmy went and got him a whole new thing by some rappers in Orange County, California. And it's and he just pacing back and forth.
Man.
Doing this.
You know what I'm saying?
Like this nigga's like me after a meeting. Like, that's what this
Hey, and Brandon, hey, to your point, though, hey, but look, I would have preferred Jimmy to do his version of the joint, too. And be like, hey, you just can't take our music. It's mine, hey, too.
I'm the Chief Uso in this bitch. How you take the theme music?
Yeah. Hey.
Like, listen. Nigga, hey, remember when, if y'all was around watching WCW at that time, nigga, Stevie Ray grabbed our man Johnson and told Booker T, we gonna wrestle you for the right to use Harlem Heat theme music. And they beat him. Booker T couldn't even use the fucking music and shit.
Yeah.
He couldn't use the Soul of Soul thing.
Hey, listen. I would have preferred them both do their own version, or maybe just taking the other one ad-libs off of the song.
Right. No, nigga, it's me, Oos. No, nigga. It's me, Oos. Fuck you talking about. I've been down since day one. Like, right. And then also, man, look. Are we a little bit biased here? Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Because, look, WWE, y'all should just take a piece. Look, if it's one thing y'all can take a piece of the AEW book, which I love, from Tony Khan. And then we just license the music, fam. We just license it.
Right.
We license cool. it. That's not our thing. It's not our thing, y'all. Look, you want what song? I bet. Go pay the money. Because WWE, in its history, has only done hip-hop right probably twice when it comes to theme songs. And that was during the era... And that was in the era when them niggas went and got with hip hop artists to do the themes. Yeah. Mark Henry's theme is the greatest rap theme for a wrestler ever. And it's not even close.
Yeah.
I don't like the Silk the Shocker shit for MVP.
Yeah, that's wild.
I don't like no matter of fact. If I could be frank, the only theme music by a wrestler that have hip-hop themes to it that I like is Mark Henry's theme music. Mm. And that's the only one that, like, if I was riding in the car and it came on, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, because that should have been, like, on Unbreakables or something like that.
Yeah. The shit popped up, I bet. I'm not changing it.
Yeah.
AEW would have just been like, yo, you want this 3-6 Mafia song? Fuck it, let's license it. Because there was no look. It took me 2 years to actually like the Usos theme song.
Okay. I get that.
And I just got used to it.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't like the theme music because it's just two niggas yelling. You ain't got to talk about Keith Lee theme song. And he rapped it.
Yeah.
He rapped it.
Major faux pas, bro.
Yeah. Like, WWE, please get... No, Brando. I don't like Lil' Kim on Trisha's shit. That shit sound like... That shit sounds like the beginning of a softcore porn.
You ain't really seen the reason to not like it now, though.
I mean, no, I'm just saying... I'm just saying, I'm not coming to see soft porn to hear the music. I just want to get straight to the point, all right? I don't want Swerve rapping. No, matter of fact, no. I want no black people rapping and wrestling.
Hey, real quick.
Unless you look scrappy.
That's true. You know which one I was surprised didn't work, but then looking back, I see why it didn't. When Run DMC remixed the DX thing, the King of Rock.
But see, that was too much for white people ages 18 to 34.
Yeah.
Because that smacked. Like, the King of Rock, that shit smacked.
Yeah.
But it was also for white people.
Yeah. And you're right. And the thing is, and on the flip side, and this is just how hip hop and wrestling work, but the Beastie Boys had done it, that shit would have been diamond. Yeah, it would have been diamond had the Beastie Boys done that.
Oh, dude. But the Beastie Boys just did that motherfucker. That's still been a theme today.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, I was like, man, it didn't work. But I was like, but you know what? truly only X-Pac and Triple H know about this. And Kevin Nash is probably like, yo, you should get Run DMC. Like, it was like, what? In 97?
Shawn Michaels like, oh, how come we can't get, you know, Amy Grant or something?
Yeah, right. Time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? who knows what?
And look, I know y'all see, I said that people go start naming shit. Mm-hmm. Only reason why I'm a fan, I'm not a fan of Time Is Now, because of Cena raps. I think Cena's theme song went perfectly for him. For sure. And that's my issue with rap songs and wrestling themes. Sometimes it's not about if the song is good or not, because I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns' new theme song.
That's true.
But it fits him. Mm-hmm. So if it fits, cool. But let's look at the theme songs. The best theme songs in wrestling history fits the person that they're with. And nine times out of ten, that person got major success, especially when the theme song changed.
Yeah.
Like Ravishing Rick Rude, them having the Chippendales type song work because he about to do this on y'all ass.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts coming through with the theme song. That's one. That's a top five theme song.
Three.
That fits. John Cena's theme songs, except for the first one, when his ass was wearing the tights, it was just like,
oh yeah,
generic like Wrestler the, 3 theme song.
Yeah, that was like the Captain America reboot, like me.
Yeah, but man, when he turned into Dr. Thuganomics, that fit perfectly.
Yeah.
And to me, that's John Cena's best theme song.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that one right there, this is basic Thuganomics, that's the best theme song from John Cena to me. But when he makes the change over to this Cena, I like Thuganomics better, but it fits him to a T.
Yeah.
Jimmy don't have, that song don't fit Jimmy.
Yeah.
And honestly, that does fit Main Event Jey Uso, the new remix, because he's turning to 50 Uso.
Yeah, right. Hey, right. Well, hey, and you know what? Hey, look, if nothing else, man, hey, Jimmy, I would have dusted off the Head Shrinkers music and came out to that. Him or Solo should be using that, and I would totally play Nepotism. I don't matter know why fact, Solo don't come out to the Head Shrinkers music.
Man, and matter of fact, and it's not Swerve rapping. But Swerve's theme fits him. Like, Swerve, the shit he got now, it fits him.
Yeah.
To the point that I was laughing when homie was doing this shit. I'm like,
but that's the new name on the
new. Yeah. I was like, this fits.
Yeah.
This fits him. And I think that the underrated thing about wrestling, ever since Hulk Hogan took the shit from Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, find a theme that fits you.
Yeah.
Find the theme that when you come out, people identify that shit with you because it feels like it fits you and your personality. Jimmy Uso confused right now. He's a confused, lost-ass nigga. Give him a confused, lost-ass thing. That shit that they just popped up with and shit, no. And that's what I loved about old WWF is because, man, they theme music's fit.
Yeah.
And even when they made the little bit of tweak, and I don't know who this shorty is on ESPN they got with these dogs, but that lower body fit nice. My bad. I'm going to turn and look at it like, oh, shit. It's me. Y'all was right on point. But the thing that I love about theme songs is that it fits the character and the personality of the person.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't like Roman Reigns' new theme, but that shit fit him better than the Shield
bam, bam.
Did.
Bam, bam. Bam, bam. Bam, bam. That's not like a... I don't know. It's like, you know, when you're doing like the 80s principal music or something like that. I don't know. Coming down like, bam, 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 bam. Oh, God, here's Barbara.
Yeah, like, but again, it's all about themes that fit. And that's also with the shit with Jay, me, Jimmy. This shit don't fit him.
Yeah, man.
It don't fit him. It's just like you. Hey, let's find a hip hop track in extreme music.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they've been better off finding the B side of, like, I don't know, South Park Mexican or somebody, Lil Rob or you any, know, like, anything. Like, yo, I'm sure Trick Daddy was available. I don't know. Gunplay, maybe. He obviously needs a gig to get them back.
I'll find West Side Gun. They go find West Side Gun to do the thing for Jimmy.
Hey.
Boom, 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 boom. Like, do that.
Things I'm not opposed to, and they should do it, but they don't acknowledge him when he be front row at WrestleMania. So, that's so true. You know, there's that. Yeah.
Well, I will throw it out there. Jimmy Uso needs a better theme song. Can somebody talk to somebody that know West Side Gun
Word.
And have him do the theme song? And then they can acknowledge it, put it on WWE, the music volume 85 or some shit.
Man,
and because Jimmy needs another theme song, because what they got him with right now ain't hidden.
Yeah. And then, like, even just, man, again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we can look back on this very show on September 10th, 2023. I hope we can even look back around Christmas and be like, man, Jimmy really turned that around. Because we want to see him win. But there's nothing about this looks winnerish to me. This is not winning energy. Not at all.
It's not. But I think that's about it today. Yeah, that's about it today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you said you wanted to do me versus Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about wrestling shit.
Yeah.
Like, if it's anything else. Oh, it is one thing. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of the promo, it seemed like my man was nervous to be in that spot a little bit. I know a lot of people was like, oh, no, the shit was hitting. Yeah, I see where he going, though. I really, truly hope that Swerve versus Adam Hangman Page is the feud that puts him over and finally gets him in a world title match in AEW and actually win it.
My question for you is, because I only know his career as AEW. Has Hangman Adam Page ever been in a program where he's effectively put somebody else over?
Not in AEW.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, the Japan shit, Ring of Honor shit, you could debate that. Yeah. But it's something that Hangman Page said, and there's no denying it. Mm-hmm. He's one of the pillars of this shit. He might not be one of the four pillars, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or is he? Nah, but no, he is not. But when you realize that he's one of the first people that signed to the company,
yeah,
and was in the first title match for the company against Chris Jericho and all of this, like, Swerve's promo, when you just read it, was right.
Yeah.
Like, and when you look at some of those wrestlers to the point that you've made, who wants to be a star in that bitch? And who just wants to wrestle?
Hey, that's why the first black champ Twitter shared and liked that post. And literally off the heels of what we were talking about on Sunday, I'm sitting here like, yeah, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Because I worry about a few of those pillars or those first 10 guys signed, because a lot of them just want to wrestle. And that's why I ask, because, you know, I never watched a lot of New Japan or Ring of Honor outside of a couple guys. And I heard Hangman Adam Page's name before. As far as the cowboy shit, gimmick, theme, image, whatever, he wants to be the guy that Thrill Billy really is. And he's the U.S. He's the U.S. champion NWA right now.
Yep.
And that's the real cowboy shit as far as I'm concerned. But enough of that. Outside of doing enough spots to get 5 stars and low-key shooting during promos, what does a Hangman Page offer a Swerve a guy legitimately trying to be a superstar in a new company? That is the kind of questions that need to be asked for all of these guys, because they got to get out of this mode of we're just happy to be here to do our shit. Like, this ain't Barnum and Bailey. You don't just come out here and, oh, let me, you know, eat the fire and let me jump through the hoops and let me do the cartwheels. It's like, yo, what are we going to do to make people say, hey, yo, did you see that Swerve and Adam Page match, bro? Like, that shit was hard. It's on YouTube. Go look at it. Driving the numbers up. So now people want to tune in. Like, I don't think they have enough of that and enough people that think like that. So that's why I worry about, will Swerve really get what he want outside of wrestling one of the first guys that signed? You did?
So between that and, you know, I guess MJF's next opponent might be Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
You know, with their callback and everything. Yeah, ain't too much to say. But I wanted to pass it on over to you because you've been active on X.
Yeah, right. Active on X.
You've been active on X on the FBC pod that joint.
So crazy last decade, but whatever.
Yeah, right, you know what I'm saying? Twitter is Twitter. If I could put this into some type of way, Twitter is the old Usos thing, and X is Jimmy Usos thing.
Facts.
But you've been active on the FBC pod Twitter, man, doing a little bit debating, throwing some shit out there. So what's up with Camp from the Port on the FBC pod Twitter?
X, yeah, man.
Stuff.
I just watch stupid people commenting on LA Knight, right? and the whole Kevin Nash LA Knight thing. It's stupid because you can tell who started watching wrestling when. And then for people to deem the beginning of LA Knight's promo as disrespect for a legend, but yet will champion all the CM Punk shit. Like, we'll champion that. But what LA Knight did was unprofessional and disrespect to legends. It's like, fam, do y'all even realize the whole reason why he went there is because of what the legend had to say about him first. And then he used a defining moment promo against him and was right. You can't get much better than that. I love, but you know what? This is all good for LA Knight, though, because now the incels, as he called them, you know what I'm saying? Well, as he called Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, but he's talking to the ones on Twitter too. You dig?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you call them? The crotch goblins? Also, which I thought was hard. That's funny as shit.
Oh, Pause on crotch.
Yeah,
pause on absolutely. Crotch goblins.
Yeah, crotch goblin hard, super pause.
Yeah, that's a super pause on that one. Hey.
but for him to now get the hate tweets and they ramping them up while he is ascending, and even listening to the Cornette Experience, they were like, yo, people that are actually at live shows, they're saying that they are yang all through the show now. Like, that's the new what? And it's picking up even at AEW apparently. Which is
Now that I didn't see, but yeah.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's from Brian Laz, Jim Cornette, from their show. I was listening to some of their segments from their show this past week. I think it's very cool, but now, like, again, we're getting out of hand. I seen some dumbass shit about how damage control was basically not being done right by. Huh? When they debut at a Heritage Premium live event, they've been tag champs, they've been the women's champ, they've been in main event spots, they've been on posters for promo for other premium live events. They've had the main event spot on SmackDown as well as some of the other PLEs, and somebody had the audacity to tweet out, "We gotta talk about how Triple H didn't do right by these girls." What do you want him to do? You tell Dana Brooke this. I want you to get online and I want you to talk to the Riot Squad about this. And you tell me who didn't get done right by what. That sounded totally idiotic. I don't know why that would be said. That was the most asinine thing I think I've seen this week. But then again, I don't remember all the tweets I see. I have a great time on Twitter, though. Grayson Waller is killing Twitter, by the way, too.
Yeah.
And shout out to him at LA Knight. Hey, I tweeted out Austin Theory was with in a segment with everybody taking his spot. And I stand on that. Because it's no way he's not. Like, look, he's next to Grayson Waller, the guy that's the better version of him. And he's standing down looking at LA Knight, which is the guy that should have his title, that he lost to Rey Mysterio. Like, it's a mess. I don't remember much else, and I don't want to just sit here and read from the tweets, but there was
what we're gonna do now is starting next week, we're gonna have a new segment to end the show. Camp's all most right. Asinine thing on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be great. I'm gonna have to start bookmarking some of them just to see.
CMAT.
You know what I'm saying?
CMAX.
You dig? For all of our FBC Pod group members and Facebook, if you follow our Twitter or our X, you know what I'm saying? Probably don't follow on my X's. That can get crazy. But if you're following us on X, check the likes. We got the information that you guys have been wanting to see. Shout out to all of our potential new listeners out in Mexico. We are officially supporting some of your best talent through our follows and our likes and our retweets.
Como estás? You know what I'm saying? Bien gracias y tú mucho gusto, mi amor, bang.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's the aki. All right? And one of them, fellas, has an OnlyFans. And we're just going to close the segment with that information because, yes. Hey, we do it for y'all. You know what I'm saying? The first black champ, the FBCPOD on Instagram, on Twitter. We do it for y'all. Yes. We know what y'all want to see. All right?
Como estás? Bien gracias y tú. Mucho gusto, mi amor. Bang. Como estás? ¿Qué tal? Both of the reasons or the ways to say how are you. Buenos dias, buenos tardes, buenos noches to all of the women of Lucha Libre.
Let's go eat tacos. Shout out to Jay Cargo for returning too. And that's because, you know, Black Champ, former Black Champ. We got to highlight that, you know, just salute to her. She's back. Mm-hmm. She's back in AEW.
Yeah, and salute the Trinity for doing what she did to Eddie Edwards. But before we dip out of it, man, do we got any guarantees?
You know what? We do.
Any hot takes?
I'm trying to decide the guarantee I want to run with here because I saw the Asuka, Io Sky thing happen, and I was like, yeah, this is their payoff. This is what they wanted. And I always thought the cash-in would have went a little bit different and set up directly into this, so I'm glad to see that happen. However, I want to piggyback off of the guarantee I think I said last week, if not the week before. Because I love the fact that Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits came out and they the Hurt Business, but they not the Hurt Business. And I can totally see a world, with regard to everything being said about Paul Heyman possibly joining the Judgment Day. I just want to stick to my guarantee this week, piggyback off of that. I totally can see a world where the Street Profits beat Finn and Damian Priest, and that's what gets Damian Priest out of the Judgment Day. So he can get on the solo mission at the, well, either title now. Either title now. I see a world where that's possible. I love how they've just inserted themselves, paused into that situation. And, you know, what I love about Bobby Lashley is that Bobby Lashley is going to behave like a Brock Lesnar, even though he's a black man with alopecia in this space. And I enjoy it. Yeah, I saw some fast facts about Bobby Lashley, about how he actually has tattooed eyebrows. And he's like, he literally has no body hair at all because of alopecia.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. The things that you learn. Cue the rainbow. Okay.
Man, my hot take today ain't got shit to do with wrestling. It has everything to do with the motherfucking jersey I got on today. Bears, Packers, 325 Central, America's Game of the Week on Fox. All I gotta say is this. The transference of ownership is now here. The transferal of ownership is now here.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers talked all that shit about him owning the Bears. He ain't with the Green Bay Packers no more, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
He with the Jets. Jordan Love is not a quarterback. So today, we gonna see where the transferal of ownership of the Chicago Bears went.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did he transfer that shit to Jordan Love? But then he send that shit back to the Bears. Mm-hmm. Bears 27. Green Bay Packers 14. Bear down, ho.
Hey.
Bear down, bear down, bear down, ho.
Yeah, I was like, you got to hit the early two chains. You know? Like, yeah. Bear down, ho. Bear down, bear down, bear down,
bear down, ho. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, pass it on over to my man.
Yes, amen. Look, it's been great, right? It's been great. September. 80 don't feel like the 80 in July, man. So it's been a great thing. I hope you guys have been staying cool. I hope you've been watching your wrestling. I hope you've been enjoying it. Don't be like these dukes, dwarfs, dorks, dweebs on Twitter or X. Get your real wrestling knowledge from watching it and making sound decisions with your left and right brain, man. That's important. But enough about them, man. We appreciate y'all for checking out the show this week. Obviously, we can do the show by ourselves, and we'd have a pretty good damn time doing it. But you all participating in the chat, participating in the live stream, your likes, your comments, your shares, your rumor, innuendo, your questions, all of it is greatly appreciated. It keeps the First Black Champ community doing what it does, which is thriving, which is growing. We see the streams go up every day. We see the viewership going up. We're going to plan some more things for all of you because we appreciate you, and that is the best way to show it consistently. So, man, never think that we don't thank you. All right? Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Pick VP DOC, and we are out. Wrestlers have OnlyFans.
Shouts out to them ladies that do.